Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Datamatics Global Services Limited Q1 FY25 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing the star, then zero on a touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Pratik Jagtap from EY Investor Relations. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Steve. Good evening to all the participants in the call today. Welcome to the Q1 FY25 earnings call of Datamatics Global Services Limited. The results and presentation have been already mailed to you, and it is also available on the website of Datamatics. In case anyone has not received a copy of this release and presentation, please do write us, and we will be happy to send you all. To take us through the results today and to answer your questions, we have with us the top management of the company, represented by Rahul Kanodia, Vice Chairman and CEO, Sandeep Mantri, EVP and Chief Financial Officer, and Mitul Mehta, EVP and Chief Marketing Officer. Rahul will start the call with a brief overview of the quarter on business, which will be then followed by Sandeep talking on financials, and then we will open the floor for a Q&A session. I would like to remind you that anything that is said on this call, which gives any outlook for the future or which can be construed as forward-looking statements, must be viewed in conjunction with the risks and uncertainties that we face. These risks and uncertainties are included but not limited to what we have mentioned in the prospectus filed with SEBI and subsequent annual reports, which you can find on our website. With that said, I now hand over the call to Rahul, sir. Over to you, sir.
Thanks, Pratik, and a very warm welcome, and thank you, everyone, for joining our earnings call for Q1 FY25 today. I will briefly discuss some of the key quarterly highlights, while Sandeep will provide an update on the financials. After that, we will open the floor for Q&A sessions. Our total revenue for Q1 stood at rupees 394 crores and an EBIT of 42.6 crores, including revenue from Dextara. Our revenue grew 0.7% in Q1. Dextara contributed to 3.1%, hence our organic growth was negative 2.4% on a year-on-year basis. The degrowth was mainly due to the slowness in the U.S. and European markets and a flat growth in our existing business. Consequently, our EBIT margins reduced to 10.8%, which included increments that we gave out for the year 2024-25, rolled out in Q1, and our ongoing investments in building AI solutions. On a sequential quarter basis, we see an improvement in EBIT for Digital Experiences, which grew from 11.8% in Q4 to 14.2% in Q1, an improvement in EBIT for Digital Technologies, which from 0.7% in Q4 to 4.6% in Q1. However, there was a shrinkage in EBIT for Digital Operations from 23.5% in Q4 to 15.5% in Q1. This is not very comparable on a sequential basis due to the cyclical nature of this business. Although our financial performance has been somewhat softer than expected, our confidence in the overall business strategy is steadfast. We remain fully committed to this path. Our business continues to progress according to plan. Datamatics is expanding its delivery centers in the Philippines. We recently opened a delivery center in Dumaguete, and we are opening another delivery center in Cebu in Q2. In our product business, we integrated generative AI technologies in TruBot, TruCaP, and TruBI, and have rolled these features out to all existing customers. Furthermore, these products were listed on the Microsoft Marketplace in Q3, and we have sold over $1 million of licenses on this platform. Regarding our recent acquisition of Dextara, a summit-level partner for implementing Salesforce, I would like to inform you that the integration is progressing well, and the teams are collaborating actively on new opportunities. We have submitted 10 new proposals in Q1. This quarter, we expanded our client portfolio by adding nine new customers, including a Fortune 500 company. Transport and logistics is a focus vertical for Datamatics across all our lines of businesses. We have 15+ customers in this segment. In quarter one, we added another US logistics customer to this list. We have aligned our organization structures and processes for higher growth going forward. As I mentioned in the last call, we are excited about the opportunities that artificial intelligence presents. Recently, we became one of the first digital technology companies worldwide to receive an ISO 42001:2023 certification for AI management systems. This achievement will help our customers manage the risks and opportunities associated with AI, balancing innovation with governance. We have recently received a patent for AI in TrueCap. This further solidifies its position as a leading intelligent document processing solution. Microsoft, along with OpenAI, is leading the charter in the AI in the enterprise today. Along with Microsoft, we are co-creating and reimagining applications using the power of AI. One notable development is a partner onboarding co-pilot developed by Datamatics, which is amongst the top three co-pilots featured at Microsoft Build Annual Developer Conference in Seattle, Washington. Additionally, Microsoft recognized Datamatics as an AI-first mover in the recent publication highlighting the recognition of our AI solutions are receiving from the industry. I am excited to announce a groundbreaking AI initiative that our team has successfully secured a leading American supermarket chain. This project entails the implementation of advanced AI-driven video monitoring and analytics technology across 250 locations aimed at enhancing customers' experience while simultaneously migrating instances of fraud, mitigating instances of fraud. To date, Datamatics has delivered over 40 AI projects across various verticals. Looking ahead, we are positive about regaining our momentum with anticipated improvements in both revenue growth and profit margins. Regarding our EBIT margins, through diligent cost management and operational efficiencies, we project an EBIT improvement of 150 to 200 basis points in quarter two. Before handing over the call to our CFO, Sandeep Mantri, I would like to express my heartfelt gratitude to Sandeep Mantri on his last earnings call with us. His dedication, leadership, and financial acumen have been instrumental in guiding our company in achieving significant milestones. Sandeep, your contributions have laid a solid foundation for our future success, and we are deeply grateful for your commitment and hard work. On behalf of the entire Datamatics team, I wish you all the best in your future endeavors and look forward to your continued success. Thank you for everything. Sandeep, over to you.
Thank you, Rahul, for the kind words. Welcome, everyone, and thank you for joining us in Quarter 1 FY25 earning call. Let me start with the financial performance for the Q1 of FY25. Our revenue for this quarter stood at 394 crores, which is a drop of 4.5% on a sequential basis and a marginal up of 0.7% on a YOY basis. Our EBITDA for this quarter was at 13% compared to 17.3% in Q1 of last year, so there is a significant drop in EBITDA. Our EBIT for this quarter was at 10.8% compared to 15% in Q1 of last year. As explained by Rahul, the reason for drop in operational profit is primarily due to slow revenue growth, increment for 24-25 effected in Q1, and our continued investment in AI project. Our tax rate for the quarter is 17.2% compared to 18.7% in Q1 of last year. Our EPS for the quarter was rupees 7.37 per share, compared to 8.9 in Q4 and 9.35 in last year Q1. When we see segment-wise revenue performance, our digital operation revenue was at ₹164.8 crore, which is a drop of 1.3% on YOY basis. Digital operation EBIT margin was at 15.5%. Total contribution in revenue was 42%. Our digital experience revenue was at 67.9 crore, which is a growth of 2.4% on YOY basis. Its EBIT margin was at 14.2% and its contribution to total revenue was 17%. Our digital technologies revenue was at 161.3 crore, which is a growth of 2.2% on YOY basis. EBIT margin for digital technology stood at 4.6%, and the contribution of digital technology to total revenue was 41%. We continue to maintain a healthy balance sheet. As on June 30, 2024, our total cash and investment stood at Rs. 589 crore, and our DSO for as at the end of this quarter was at 61 days. In terms of geographical footprint, US remains our largest geography with 54% of our business coming from US, followed by UK and Europe at 13%, and the rest of world, including India, is at 33%. In terms of industry footprint, technology and consulting remains the largest segment for us, which constitute 27% of our revenue, followed by BFSI, which stood at 25%, then education and publishing, and manufacturing, infra and logistics, each at 12%, then non-profit or non-government organization at 10%, retail at 9% of our business, other rest miscellaneous is 5% of our total revenue. Our client concentration remains very healthy, with top 5, 10 and 20 clients contributing to 23%, 37% and 50% respectively. As this is my last earning call with Datamatics, I want to take a moment to express my gratitude. It has been an honor to serve you as your CFO and to work alongside such a talented and dedicated team. I want to thank our employees for their unwavering commitment, our investors for their trust and support, and the entire leadership team for their collaboration and guidance. Together, we have achieved many significant milestones. I am confident that Datamatics is well positioned for continued success, and I look forward to seeing the company's future accomplishment. A special thanks to Rahul for always believing in me and trusting me. And thank you all for the incredible journey. With this, I will now pass on the call to operator to open the floor for questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handset while asking the question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Grishma Shah from Envision Capital. Please go ahead.
Good evening to the management team, and you know, just wanted to understand the softness in growth a little better. As evident, we could see some pain in the top 5 and the top 10 accounts. So if you could tell us how's the trajectory going to be for the rest of the year with the key accounts, and where is the growth going to come from your own for, and what's the guidance for the entire year?
Sure. So on the digital operation side, there was some delay in the shrinkage in the volume. We expect some of that volume to come back in Q2 and Q3 of this year. On the technology side, certain projects got a little pushed out, and again, we expect that to happen in Q3. So overall, from a growth point of view, in the last earnings call, we talked about 4% organic growth and another 3.5 to 4% from inorganic. And we at this point maintain that projection. So I think we should be in that range once we claw back some of the volumes and some of the deferred projects kick in.
Hello? Okay. Yeah. So I get that. How has Dextara grown for this quarter year-on-year basis, and what's the outlook for, Dextara?
Dextara is flat. Dextara this quarter has not grown. But that does not concern me, because our strategy behind Dextara was, we had a call for Dextara specifically when we acquired them. So they as a company, because they were much smaller, were bidding for smaller deals ranging between 50K to 100K. And the deals that Datamatics was getting was ranging between $500,000 to up to $3 million per deal. So our strategy behind that was, with their competence and expertise, we will convert a few of the larger deals that we are getting, and that will give the upside in terms of growth. Now, in quarter one, it's very difficult to close a deal so fast. I mean, that's too short a period. So they have been working very closely with our team, and as I mentioned, we've submitted 10 proposals in Q1 of this year. So I'm still very positive about their ability to close a few, one or two large deals, and that would get the growth going for Dextera.
So you paused the small deal growth that Dextera was, traditionally doing.
No, we've not paused it. But quarter one is a little soft. So they have been working on several deals. So we've not paused the small deals, but the upswing will come when you sign one or two large deals. And we have that pipeline from Datamatics.
Okay. And have we disclosed the total pipeline this quarter? What does it stand at?
No, our pipeline last quarter was about $200 million. We've seen the softness, so that's come down to about 170-ish.
Okay. And how much of these increments that we've rolled out in quarter one will continue in quarter two and ongoing investments? You know, can you give me some margin outlook for the entire year?
Yeah, the increments that we gave on an average was roughly about 9.5%. And obviously, when you give that increment, it stays through the whole year. It goes up and down a little bit depending on churn. Some people leave, some new people come, but roughly 9.5% will stay through the whole year. But all the services companies, IT companies, go through those motions when they tighten the belt, they churn some stuff, and then it sort of comes back to normal.
Sure. Yeah. And overall, I mean, if Q2 is going to see the margin recovery, do you see, that trend of recovery continuing to the subsequent quarters, or what's the sense?
Yeah, the subsequent quarter should see the trend continuing. The reason is that, as I mentioned, some of the volume that came down in digital operations should kick in quarter two and quarter three. And also some of the projects in the IT which got pushed out to quarter three. So they will kick in. And the moment you get the revenues coming in, the margins by default improve because the cost structure does not move. Q4 for us always tends to spike a little bit. So Q4 will always be healthier than the other three quarters. So quarter two, three, and four should be better than quarter one.
Okay. And there is an exceptional item of 3 crores in the P&L.
That is correct.
So that is the amount we paid toward acquisition of Dextera to the advisor who helped us in getting this deal.
Okay, so that is the exception and not sitting in the operational cost.
There is not operation.
Yeah, there is a one-time cost. Yeah.
Okay. Fine. Thank you and good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nikhil from Kizuna Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you for giving me the opportunity. So I just wanted to ask you, the organic degrowth that we had, can you quantify them in terms of what was due to softness and demand, incremental increments and investment in AI?
We don't have that breakup now. So you're saying what is the impact of increments, the impact of AI, and the impact of the software. The breakup of that. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't have that handy as my fingertips.
Increment will be having about 9.5%, which means about 4.5%. Almost increment is one of the major reasons, and coupled with the sluggish revenue growth, both have actually brought down the EBITDA a little bit.
Then the revenue growth would have been on the high.
Then we would have.
Then we would have not. Bottom line would have been much.
Even if with 6-7% revenue growth, we would have better in terms of EBITDA.
Okay, sir. And sir, any earnouts triggered during this Dextera acquisition? Like there was a performance based payout that was going to be triggered. So what is the result of that?
That will happen at the end of the year. First payment will be at the end of the year and second payment will be after in 31st March 26. So this is a 2-year deal post acquisition.
Okay, sir. And in terms of pipeline of $170 million, so sir, can you bifurcate them into the verticals, like how much in the AFP, how much in the product side, and in the which vertical, like BFSI manufacturing?
I don't have that breakup right now. But
we don't give segment-wise bifurcation of pipeline. In fact, we started giving pipeline last quarter only. So right now we are not giving segment wise what is the pipeline, because many of the places what is happening, some are combined deals, so it is very difficult to figure out which segment it hybrid deals. Basically we are looking more and seeing more and more hybrid deals.
Okay sir, that's it for my side. Thank you sir.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Ankur, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, Rahul and Sandeep. As an individual investor, when I see the presentation, I see that predominantly it seems here that the personal cost has increased in the first quarter in the region. So, do I understand that this phenomena will happen every year and the quarter one will show the impact every year like this? And second thing is, what is...
Your voice is very unclear.
Is it more clear now?
Not really. It's a little louder, but not necessarily clearer. But maybe you can continue and we can understand.
Okay. So my question is that the personal cost phenomena is not a new phenomena. It will be there in every quarter.
Correct. Every year
it would be there. So if we are targeting the revenue growth, what are the new verticals and markets we are scouting for? And the second question which I just want to understand is, the AI and technology is quite a thing which is dependent upon R&D, and there has been huge inflow in different R&D organizations across the world. So how we are keeping pace to be ahead of all these technological advancements? So these are the three questions that I want to know.
So to your first question, that is not a new phenomena. The growth particularly was sluggish. And when you have growth, it absorbs the increase in cost very easily. Unfortunately, because we didn't have the growth in Q1 of this year, the cost absorption was not at the same level. I am confident that as we go through the quarters, the growth will come in and we should be able to absorb the cost. Having said that, we've already tightened our belt and we are already seeing results of that tightening of the belt in the first month of Q2. Which is July. To your point about AI and how we are keeping abreast, we are very plugged in with the R&D team that we have. We have a whole team under Data Labs that does a lot of R&D in the space. We are working very closely with Microsoft and with Google, and we are actually building cutting-edge technology, basis which Microsoft has covered us in their coffee table book as an early adopter of AI. Also, they showcased Datamatics and their head office in Seattle, Washington, as one of three companies globally from an AI ISV point of view. We also got the ISO certification for AI. So all of these things that we are doing, and also I talked about a very interesting project around video analytics that we got, which is a project that we signed up and we will roll it out across 250 locations. So this is all, I think, testimony to the kind of work we've done on AI. And the R&D team, I must say, has done some very cutting-edge stuff. So we will start seeing the benefits of all of this that we've done in the coming quarters.
Thank you, Rahul, for this. And I extend my warm wishes to Sandeep also for his new endeavor. We have seen the company from, I've been tracking it from last one and a half years. And, yeah, it's been phenomenal to see good leaders in the industry. Thank you. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Nikhil from Kizuna Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to ask you about the AFC pipeline. Like, how are you approaching the AFC deals? Like, those are the large deals that we talked last time.
It's not one AFC. We have just kicked off line 2B. Line 2B was delayed for a variety of reasons with COVID and all of that type of stuff, but that we just kicked it off. We have currently a bid for Pune Metro, and we are awaiting the results of Pune Metro. I am confident that within the next 1 month, we will get the results for sure. So in Q2, we'll get some visibility to where we are on Pune Metro. We are looking at some other lines that are coming in Mumbai, line 9, line 4, 5, and 6. So as we go through the motions, we will give an update on that as well. Plus, in addition to that, we are pivoting a little bit more into the U.S. So our sales team has now started focusing very actively on the U.S. market in this space.
Okay, sir. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Pallavi Deshpande from Samiksha Capital. Please go ahead.
Sir, this mentioned about Mumbai line 9, 4, 5 and 6. When does that come up? And in terms of the U.S. that you're pivoting into, is this the first time we will be looking for contracts on this end?
So, in the U.S., we have done Memphis as a project. We have done a small project with San Diego. But now we've got a sales team in the U.S. that is looking at many other opportunities in the U.S. So we've done U.S. projects before, and I'm very confident we'll be able to deliver on those. As far as line 9, 4, 5, and 6, the tenders have been floated. We will now be working on those tenders, and we will probably submit some of them in the next 2 months, and probably a quarter after that. So really you're talking about Q3, where we start seeing some results as to, you know, which ones materialize.
Yes. And this, the profitability for this, you know, in India versus the U.S., how would it be different?
Yeah, so that is a concern. India is a far more price-sensitive market, and profitability is lower. And that's the reason why we are focusing more in the U.S. We've also hired a global head of sales in the U.S. We're looking at the AFC business in the U.S. as well. So increasingly, we are focusing more on the Western markets. Europe is right now a little sluggish because Europe is, because of the Ukraine war, the inflation and things like that, there is a problem in Europe. But the U.S. is still looking good. There is some degree of uncertainty because of the elections coming up. We don't know which way it's going to go. But outside of that, the economy seems to be doing quite all right. There is slowness, which we see more in terms of decisions being deferred. And that's the softness that we've seen, and projects are getting pushed out. But on a little longer term, 6 months to a year, year and a half, I don't see too much of a trouble with the U.S. market.
And so lastly, any other plans on the acquisition, on the board, on acquisition side?
So we are in dialogue with some companies. Nothing that is at the serious level that I would like to announce right now. But as those mature, we will certainly, go through the motions of having a board approval, informing SEBI and things like that. So we are in dialogue with some companies, but nothing right now that needs to be announced.
Right, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Nikhil from Kizuna Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. According to my understanding, so our next margin levels are going to be the revenue growth and revenue growth only. Right, sir?
Sorry, say that again, please.
So our next margin level that is going to flow to the bottom line is going to be the revenue growth. Right, sir?
That's correct.
Not only revenue growth, we are tightening our belt also. So that also will give some sort of margin improvement.
Some cost control and revenue growth. It's a combination of both.
It's a combination.
So sir, if you want to guide, what will be the exit margins for 25?
For the full year?
Yes, sir.
We right now we are guiding only Q2 for margin, which will be about 150 to 200 basis points.
So if you look at the current one, we are talking about 10.8% at an EBIT level. If we improve 200 basis points, you're talking about 12.5
to 12.85.
So I think we'll maintain 12 to 13 range.
Yeah.
For the year.
Okay, sir. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. As there are no further questions from the participants, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for their closing comments.
Thank you everyone for being on the call today. It was a pleasure talking to you and I look forward to speaking to you again at the end of quarter 2. I'm sure we will have better results to talk about and we should be back with the growth momentum. Thank you once again for being on the call. Bye-bye.
On behalf of Datamatics Global Services Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.